It's straight up at 8 o'clock in the mornings with Ed Show and Wednesday morning. Welcome to a Wednesday morning here. As we do each and every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, we need to sift through the minutiae that is the American economy these days. And to help us do that, Wealthwise Financial Services founder and president Laureen Gilbert is with us. Good morning, Laureen. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me, Ed.
Well, thank you for calling. You are our economic voice of clarity, and I couldn't be more delighted that you're here this morning, especially after this last week. I know we've all been paying attention to multiple things on multiple fronts, but demonstrations and protests across the country. And I've been telling the audience this all morning. I'm not asking you to solve the problem for us. I would never put that on you. But I do want to highlight some things that we've been talking about. Once again, due to the protests, it's kind of pulled the blanket on the longstanding racial divide here. We've drawn renewed attention to the persistent inequalities in wealth, health, and opportunities between blacks and whites, despite economic prosperity of recent years. The numbers are staggering as far as the differences in wealth and income and unemployment, health care, and coronavirus. I want to present the numbers to you first and then maybe ask you how we can better represent blacks in our economy. I find that 17% of all the central workers in the United States are blacks. And central workers are, of course, public transit and trucking and warehouse and postal service and grocery and healthcare and such as that. Yet they make 73 cents on the dollar compared to white central workers. And the thing that struck me probably the most is that one-tenth of wealth, the blacks make one-tenth of household wealth that whites make. And more than that, an African-American with a college degree has less wealth than whites who didn't graduate high school. Laureen Gilbert, how can our economy better represent blacks, and is there a first step?
Ed, you mentioned a lot of good information. So let's put things in perspective. The good news is that unemployment numbers for African-American black individuals dropped from 16.5% in 2011, and it went down in February of 25.8%. That was a substantial increase, significant increase in employment numbers. Not only that, the share of working age people that were employed who were black was on par in February with those working age population of white workers. So those are some of the good numbers. Right. And you mentioned some of the disparity that still exists, which is absolutely real. So, for instance, with net worth, you mentioned the net worth number, and it is a staggering disparity between black individuals and white individuals. The averages in 2016, median black family or individual had a net worth of $18,000 versus the comparable white person, $171,000 of net worth. So huge differences. So what we've been facing for quite a long time is, as Alexis de Tocqueville talked about and warned European cities, that they were sleeping on a volcano of furious working class individuals. And he was trying to warn Europe. And the same thing is going on here in the United States. There is a disparity of wealth, and it should absolutely be addressed. And the reason is America works best when we have a strong middle class sector of our economy. And leaders such as Jamie Dimon with J.P. Morgan have been talking about this issue of that inequality and that we need to figure it out. So, and then now with what's happening with some of the violence, which is very unfortunate because, by the way, too, it is some of this, the Antifa group that is attacking the areas where black people live and need resources the most, and unfortunately are looting some of their shops, et cetera, which makes it even more difficult for them to access groceries, just everyday kinds of things. So to your point, it definitely needs to be addressed. And on the positive note, it were happening before the coronavirus, and now the black community has been impacted significantly.
Right. Now you mentioned that, yes, the gap in unemployment did close over the last several years. It has tightened up. Yeah. And even here post-pandemic, because a lot of the black workers are the ones that make up the disproportionate share of essential employees, that they've still been kind of working and they haven't really, the numbers have stayed the same there. I get it. When you say we have to address it, what is a good first step in addressing it?
Well, one first step, you know, given the fact that these essential workers are on the front line, they're probably going to need to be paid more. Okay. And it, in a sense, like a hazardous duty pay. And they've been affected more with the coronavirus in places. You look at the numbers of Bronx and you compare that to New York City proper, and there's a big difference. So, you know, I would say that these essential workers who are on the front lines and who have to work should probably be compensated more, which will help them. That would be one quick fix that could at least address some things. Some other is going to be some longer term, really looking at, you know, what can be done. And I know Congress is looking at that right now, just like I mentioned with some of the black communities that have been impacted the most by this violence that is going on and the looting that has happened that have closed down small businesses in their community. So I know that that's being looked at right now.
Okay. Now, generally across the rest of the economy, I read a report where it's going to take up to 10 years. If there are no other hiccups, it could take up to 10 years for us to recover. Is that a number that seems right about on target to you?
So which numbers are you talking about exactly you say the 10 years?
The CBO numbers, yeah. Warning in the new analysis.
Right. So the analysis was good. It's a good thing that they looked at that. What it actually said, this $7.9 trillion loss, if we look at what that really means, it's about a 3% cumulative hit to GDP over the next decade. Now, we're already in a slow growth economy, right? That we're just trying to chug along at like a 2% per year growth rate. So that 3% over a decade is a big number when you look at it at $7.9 trillion, but when you look at it as a percentage, we'll be okay. I mean, that doesn't put us, it's actually a better number than was originally thought before that study was done. So the good news is it's better than we thought it could be.
Okay. All right. And if recent history is any guide, though, it could take the labor market and household wealth even longer than that to recover. Am I crazy in assuming that?
Of course, a lot of that is dependent upon some key areas of the economy, i.e. the stock market and the housing market. Those two numbers together represent most of Americans' wealth, right? Their home is usually people's largest asset, and then those who have money in the markets, that's the next part that accumulates to be net worth numbers. And the markets have been doing quite well. So, even though certain areas of the market are doing very well, others have not recovered quite yet. But when we really look at year-to-date numbers, we know we're down the lows where we were on March 23rd. So, and the housing market hasn't yet taken a big hit. So when we look at net worth numbers of individuals' net worth numbers haven't been hit very hard yet. Where it's hurting people's overall wealth effect and the way that they feel about their wealth is their employment. So we have people who are reduced workers, in other words, reduced hours, and then people who are completely unemployed. And so when you look at that, they're going to have to draw down on their net worth, whatever they do have, and that will take a toll and take a while to recover.
Okay. That was clarity. Thank you so much. Now, my dumb guy question is this. I've been noticing this past 8 days or 9 days since the protests and demonstrations began that the stock market has really remained mostly unaffected by the civil unrest. How does that happen?
Well, when we look at the markets are focused on, right now what the markets are focused on is how quickly will people be able to get back to work and how soon will companies be able to show profits again. In other words, we had a complete stop into the economy. In other words, demand and supply both stopped completely. And now what we're looking at is how quickly can the demand side come back? So how fast will people be able to go back to work, be productive, go shopping, go back to a mall, all of those things? And the markets have been quite optimistic as far as the recovery, and they're looking beyond, for instance, Q2, et cetera. Now, the disconnect, of course, what you're talking about is, wow, how can all that happen in the midst of the unrest? Well, the unrest that's happening, unfortunately, it's hitting small businesses disproportionately to large ones, right? So you're, you know, when you look at communities and what's being impacted, it's your small business owner. And that's very unfortunate because small business owners had already been significantly hit with the pandemic and having to shut down.
Right.
But the markets are looking at publicly traded large corporations and how fast will those large corporations be able to produce earnings again. So right now, the markets are discounting everything else. Even today, you know, the ADP numbers, everything that's come out, it just discounts it and just says, we're going to get beyond it.
Right. And when you mentioned small business, we highlighted a small business here in town, in fact, Totem Leather Repair, that, yeah, they're a shoe cobbler, but most of their business is from the high-end Valentino and Chanel, and those stores send our little local place, our little leather cobbler, send them their stuff to repair. And that's those stores were smashed in Santa Monica and Beverly Hills and stuff. So, yeah, I see how the small business
and not
is
open. Right. It really affects the small business. And Laguna Beach is a great example of that. Look at how hard hit our city has been. Look at how hard hit those small business owners. It's a great microcosm for what's going on across America. Look at our restaurants that, you know, who knows how many of those will be able to come back.
Right. Last question. What do you expect? What kind of unemployment numbers are you expecting to see tomorrow?
Well, what we've been seeing is an improvement. So I would expect continued improvement to, so those numbers to, you know, still be going down in the, you know, 3 million range. So I would expect a continued decline as we go week by week.
Okay. Laureen Gilbert, Wealthwise Financial Services, the founder and president. How do we find you if we're looking for you online, Laureen?
Thank you, Ed. It's 949-748-1177 or wealthwisefinancial.com.
You are our economic voice of clarity. I can't thank you enough for being with us this morning. I look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too, Laureen.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.